Today's Shir Masechet Bava Kama Daf Ayin Tes. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis on the bottom line of the Amud Tan Rabbanan. It says the Brice, a gun of somebody stole an animal from Natsan Acher and he gave the animal to someone else to do the Shechita, the Tavach. And that person and did the Shechita. Oy, what happened, or what he did was gun if he stole. And he gave the animal to someone else to sell it. And that person sold the animal. Ganaf, if he stole an animal, the Higdish, and he was Magdish the animal. And Tosfos points out that we're speaking about the Higdish that was Magdishit for Bedek Habayis. Because if he was Magdishit for a carbon, as we had learned earlier, then he wouldn't, if this animal was brought as a carbon, then you wouldn't be chayv to bring dal v'hei. And you wouldn't bring dal v'chai because the owner who was magdashit originally was still, it would be given to his credit. And therefore, it's still called that person's animal. So therefore, it's not similar when you sell the animal where you don't have, where it's not connected to the original owner's name. Similarly, when you're magdashit for Bedek Habayis, the same thing. Since you're magdashit for Bedek Habayis, it loses the original owner's name. Ganaf v'higdif. If he sold it, but he sold it on credit. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that even though he didn't get any money for it, all he did was that the person promised to pay him, that doesn't mean that it wasn't sold. And since it doesn't mean that it wasn't sold, it will be considered proper act of a mechira. And I saw that the Achronim add to it, that even though the midaraisa metaltlin on niknin bekesef, midaraisa, the way a transaction of a sale takes place on metaltlin is when one pays for those metaltlin. What we're learning here in our Gemara is that that even though there was no kesef exchanged, there was only a meshicha, it will still be considered as if it was properly sold. And this will be a raya to a concept that we've discussed in previous shiurim, and that is when we say something is going to be effective midaraisa, what would be the halacha if the only reason the transaction is considered a valid transaction is midarabanan? Will that still be considered sold midaraisa? And based on the way we just explained the Gemara, it seems that from here we have a raya that even though the transaction, the kinyan, was only a kinyan derabanan, it still will be considered a valid sale midaraisa. Ganaf for hichlif, or he stole the animal and exchanged it for something else. Ganaf v'nasim matana, he stole an animal and gave it away as a gift. Ganaf upar by chayvim, he stole money and he owed somebody money and he paid off the debt that he had with this behemoth, even though there's really at this time no exchange of money, no exchange here, because he owed this money from before. So now when he's giving the person he owes the money to the animal, he's giving an animal, but he's not getting, he's giving him the animal, but at this time, he's not getting anything in exchange. Ganaf, or parba kefai, where he paid off that what he owns, he bought something on credit, and now he's paying that off. Ganaf, for shalach sevloinus veis chamav, he used it to give a gift to his kala. Rashi explains that it was the minig that they used to give gifts to the kala. And what we're learning here was that he used this animal as that gift. The Rishonim go on to explain the minig was that the day after the Erusin, they would send the chasim, would sell the kala different gifts. Moreover, so what's the chiddush here? So the Rashbam explains that one would assume that what's the definition of a mechira? Definition of a mechira is there was an exchange. I sold something to you. I got something, and I gave something, and I got something in return. But in the case that we're discussing now, I'm not getting anything in return because there's a concept of ishtaka gufay. So when I'm giving my wife a gift, it's as if I'm giving it to myself, and maybe that should not be considered a mechira. In all these cases, teaches us the brayso that you still pay dalef for hay. In fact, this Gemara is used to discuss an interesting shaila, and that is the shaila when it comes to shalach manas on Purim. Can one fulfill the mitzvah of mishloach manas that I don't have? I will exchange something with you, and you'll give something back to me. If our Gemara is teaching us that this is a valid way of being considered tfichum mechira for dal v'hei, so too it will, maybe it would be considered a valid way of fulfilling the mitzvah of shalach manas on Purim. Ask the Gemara, Michael Mashmalan, what is this braisa teaching us? Says the Gemara Shmina Reisha, the Reisha is teaching us a chiddush that shigon of a nosan la'achar, if somebody stole and he gave it to someone else, and that person tavach, that person did the shechita, the yesh shliach l'dvar aveira. Even though throughout halacha we always know there's a concept of ein shliach l'dvar aveira, here somebody else does the actual tvicha and still considered as if the ganef did the tvicha. Hocha, it's going to be considered that even though the ganef did not actually do the tvicha, it's considered as if he did the tvicha, because here we, unlike everywhere else in Shas, say yesh shliach l'dvar aveira. Ask the Gemara, my tama, isn't the principle of ein shliach l'dvar aveira such a fundamental principle in Shas? Why are we saying here it's different? Says the Gemara, tavcha u'mecharai. The Torah connects tvicha mechira. Ma mechira, the lev shali de'achar. So why Rashi and most Rishonim explain. What the Gemara means to say is that mechira always needs at least two people to be involved, the buyer and the seller. Others explain that in those days, other Rishonim explained, in those days it was most common that a transaction, a sale, was typically done with a broker in between. So just like, says the Gemara, ma mechira d'lev sh'alav ayde'achar, there always have to be at least two parties involved in the mechira. So too with the shechita, it doesn't require that the ganef himself did the shechita, even if somebody else did the shechita, mechayiv. Hashmin and Seifa. And what does the Seifa come to teach us? Ganef v'hekdesh, that if you were magdashit, the ganef was magdashit, he'll also be chayiv dal v'hei. Because of a principle that we learned so many times in our shurim, because ma'ali machr lehegyet, ma'ali machr shemayim. The halacha doesn't differentiate if I sold it to a different individual or I, so to speak, transferred it to shemayim. The point of a mechira is that there was a transaction, there was a sale that went from one person to the next, from one entity to the next, which is the case when you magdish something. Teaches us the Mishnah. Ganav b'rishus habaylim. If somebody stole the animal from the owner's property, v'tavach u'mach chutz m'rishosam, but after he took it out, then that's when he did the tficha mechira, not in the property of the owner. So since, explained the Rishonim, when he took it out, he became his. It's considered that he did an act of geneva. So that will be a case of geneva tficha mechira, or vice versa. Ganav mechutz m'rishusam. The animal was not in the property of the owner of its owners, and then tavach hamachah b'rishusam. But the tficha mechira were done in the property of the owner of this animal. Or if everything was done outside of their property, all of these cases will be examples where the ganef will have to pay teshlumei dalet vehei. And Rashi explains that if you did geneva chutz merushusam, what does that mean? It means that you did meshicha outside of the property of the owner. Since you did the meshicha outside of the property of the owner, that's why it becomes the property of the ganef, because meshicha is a valid way of making a kinyan. Certainly, tavach u'machah b'reshusam, but now says the Mishnah, but if tavach u'machah b'reshusam, in such a situation, you potter, because it's not considered as if you did an act of geneva. But the Rishonim point out that even though it's not considered that you did an act of geneva, that you should have to pay kefil on dal v'hei, certainly the halacha that you have to return what you stole would be very much applicable. Says the Mishnah further, if you were doing meshicha to take the animal, the yotze, out of the property of the owner, or meis b'reshus habalim, before you had the opportunity, before the ganef had the opportunity to take the animal completely out of the property of its owner, the animal died, potter, then the ganef will be potter. And here too, I saw machlokes rishonim. What does potter mean? Some rishonim explain potter means that he's going to be entirely potter. He won't be held responsible at all. And some rishonim suggest that what it means is that he's going to be potter from kefil or dal v'hei, given the circumstances, but you won't be potter from the actual keren. Higbioi, but if you did agbah, oi, hitzim reshus habalim, or you took it out of the owner's property, so it became the property of the ganav. At that point, or mace, if the animal dies, chayiv, the ganav will pay, have to pay kefil. Nosnoi, lebucharis benoi. And here too, there are many different pshat, and we're going to learn with Rashi's pshat. If somebody stole an animal and he gave it for his pinyan aben, or he used it to pay off a debt, l'shoy mechinim, or he gave the animal to a shoy mechinim to watch, l'shoyel, l'noy sisacha, shoy mesacha, l'soycher, he leased it, v'hoya, moishchoy, and the kayin was doing meshicha, u'meis b'shus abalim, potter, the ganef doesn't have to pay, because it did not yet become the property of the person to whom he gave it to. Higbioi, but if once the animal, there was agbar done in the animal, at that point he becomes responsible. So again, the first pshat that Rashi learns is that the owner gave this animal for a kohen to fulfill the mitzvah of pinyan aben, and according to that opinion. The Mishnah in this case is not focused on Hilchas Geneva. The Mishnah in this case is focused, did you fulfill your obligation in the mitzvah pinyan aben, or did you not fulfill your mitzvah pinyan aben? Rashi in the second pshat says that what happened here was that he gave to the Kohen the money that he stole. The Waganef stole money, and he took that money and he used it to fulfill his obligation of pinyan aben. Says the Gemara, Baya Meimer, Tiknu Meshicha B'Meshaymer, if a Shaymer did Meshicha, so we know throughout Shas, then in order for a transaction to be halachically valid, you have to do a kinyan. So the question is, if I agreed to be a Shaymer for something that belongs to you, and as we just learned and often discuss, there are many different types of shaymrim, shaymechinim, shaymesachar, shoyl, and a soicher. So the Gemara's question is, does a shaymer only become responsible for what he's watching if he did a kinyan? And if he didn't do a formal kinyan, then he won't be chayiv? Or, loy teknu, they didn't make such a rule, and as soon as I undertake to watch it, I become a shomer. I'm Rav Yemer. Toshma. So he wants to bring a raya to answer this question from our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Nosnul B'chayrus B'noi, if the Ganif gave the animal for B'chayrus B'noi, for Pinyin HaBen, Oil about Chayvay, to pay off a debt, L'shem Echinim L'shayl, Nois HaSachul L'Soicher, Vaya Moshchay V'yotzei, and there was a Mashiach Adon Umeis, B'shus HaBal and Potter. So what do we see? Who was the one that ostensibly did the Mashiach? The Shomer. And from here we're learning that a Shomer does not become responsible for what he's watching until he does an actual kinyan. My love Shomer. Shema mino. So shouldn't this be a very compelling proof that a Shomer does not become responsible until he does a kinyan? Amalei. To which a Maimon says to Rav Yehuda Loi, there's no right from our Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the Ganif. The Mishnah is speaking about when the owner of the animal gave permission to a Kohen or to Bal Chayiv or to Shomer to take the animal, and then somebody took the animal that was designated to be given to one of these individuals. And what the Mishnah is teaching us, that if the animal died before the Ganif did a Kinyan, then the Ganif will not be held responsible, because the Ganif is not held responsible for what he stole until he actually does a Kinyan. Whereas, that if that wasn't what happened, if the Ganif did a Kinyan, then he will be Chayiv. So it has nothing to do with what we're discussing about. But ask the Gemara, if what the Mishnah is teaching us is that in order for Ganif to be held responsible, he has to do a Kinyan, so why did the Mishnah have to repeat that halacha in the Sefer? Hatana le Reisha. Have we not learned that halacha in the Reisha? So answers the Gemara. Tana, Ganav Shaganav Beis Abalim. The Tana wants to teach us halacha when he stole something from the owner's home. But Tana, Ganav Beis HaShomer. But that, not that there's any really difference in Hilchas Geneva. Amalei Ravashi. So Ravashi says to Mimaloi Titcha. What you're saying is not a question of what I'm saying. Because Mali Ganav Shagonim Beis HaShomer, Mali Ganav Shagonim Beis HaBalim. Why should the Mishnah feel the need to say this halacha twice? What is taught the second time that we can't understand the first time? Elaf, it must be that the Mishnah is coming to teach us Shomer. That the Mishnah is coming to teach us that when and how does a Shomer become responsible? When he does a Kinyan, Shema Mina, take the Mashiach of a Shomer. Shema Mina, that a Shomer only becomes responsible when he does a Kinyan and what he became responsible to watch. It says the Gemara, it manami, Amar Belezer, Kederach shetik the Mashiach bel Kuchas, when I purchase something, it's not mine without a Kinyan. Kach tiknu mashiach b'shomerim. A shomer is not responsible unless there was a kinyan. And tanya nami hachi. And so does another brisa say. Kederach shetiknu mashiach b'lekuches. Kach tiknu mashiach b'shomerim. Continues the brisa. Ukshem shekach niknas b'kesef. If the buyer gives the seller money b'shtar that he gives over a deed that he sold on the property, or b'chazaka. If the buyer does something on the property to show that he is the owner of the property, kach schiris. So too, if I hire something, I rent something, nis b'kes m'shtar b'chazaka. Ask the Gemara schiris to my exactly what was being rented. Ilay m'schiris to metatlin. If I'm renting metatlin, I'm renting him a tool, a vessel. Ask the Gemara, tatlin b'nei shtar ninu, is a shtar a valid way of doing a kinyan on metatlin? Metatlin, you need to have mashicha. You can't, shtar doesn't do it. And the Rishonim point out, even though we're learning that you need to have mashicha for the kinyan of a shtar, let's say there was a kinyan with shtar with metatlin, not mashicha. And then somebody backs out of the deal. The halacha is that person is obligated in the mishapara. That means he did a terrible thing. He didn't keep his word. But what our Gemara is focused on is the daraisa. Amar Rav Chisda, here we're speaking about tzchiras karka, renting property, and renting property can be accomplished with a shtar. Amar Rav Elazar, says the Gemara, We learned in our Mishnah that if somebody stole an animal, he becomes responsible. It says the Ma'amar of Elazaro Shetman Becharshim that he hid in a forest to steal animals that are grazing there. The Tavach Machar, and then he sold or slaughtered that animal. This is the example for which Mishalim Tashlum Abava Chamisha that you'll be Chayv Dal Behei. So the Rishonim point out, and this is going to become the focus of what we're going to be learning on the Gemara, is that there's a difference between Geneva and Gezela. Geneva is something that's done in hiding surreptitiously. Gezela is done publicly. And that's what's being taught here, that this is a place that where it's people armed there. And see, even if somebody saw him, somebody happened to have seen him there, it doesn't make a difference. That's the way many Rishonim learned the Gemara, that since the Geneva was done in a place where people aren't usually there, and since people are not usually there, the person was acting as a ganav. The Gemara is teaching us that even if somebody happened to be there and happened to see what he did, that doesn't change the reality that it's considered an act of Geneva. That those that have somewhat of a different approach, their approach is that we're speaking about Mashiach. We just finished speaking about Mashiach, and that we're learning here that Mashiach can be done in a yar, in a forest. Ask the Gemara, but if I just, why would it become the Ganav's responsibility? Ask the Gemara. Haven't we been learning that the Ganav only becomes responsible when there was a kinyan? Amai, halay mashach, there was no kinyan. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Hikish Shemakel. The Ganav hit the animal, and since the Ganav hit the animal, and the animal moved because he hit it, that's considered a act of Mashiach, an act of Kinyan. Amri asked the Gemara, the Kivan de Ru'a, but once they saw what he did, Gazlanu is not a Ganav. It says the Gemara, Kivan de Kamat Minayu, since he was hiding from them, halachically, Ganav who, he did it in a way that he's hiding, even though somebody saw what he's doing, it's enough to be considered a Ganav. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that even if you're seen, you could still be considered a ganav. So gazlan, I mean, what is the case of a gazlan? Amar Rav Avua, the pasuk says, "Kigoyim ben Yoyah ben Yada, shnem v'yigzas achanis biyad hamitzri." He took the spear from the mitzri v'yargeu b'chanis. That means when you take something from somebody, somebody's holding on to something that belongs to him, and you take it away, that's considered a gazlan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, a different explanation of a gazlan. He says, "Kegoyim bali Shechem." What it says by the people of Shechem that rebelled against Avimelech, "Shnem v'yisimeloi bali Shechem ma'ar v'mal rosh harim v'yigzlu kol shalav v'lem b'derech." Gazela means everybody that passed by, they took away what they had from in front of them, and nobody could stop. Nobody could stop them. Ravua asked the Gemara to learn from the Pasuk Ben Yoh, "My Tamalai, my I." Why didn't he learn from the Pasuk by Shechem? Amlu, Kivan, the Matri Muri, they hid. The Pasuk says, "V'yisima lo ba'al Shechem arvin." As soon as there's an element of hiding, like Gazlin Nenu, they're not considered Gazlonim. Rav Yochanan, Hadaka Matri, how could Rabbi Yochanan ask the Gemara to learn from that pasuk? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, since they were hiding, the loy nechzina inchi v'nark minayu. They weren't hiding because they were scared to steal. They weren't scared to steal. The reason they were hiding was they didn't want people to avoid going where they were because they knew they were there. But it's not because they were embarrassed to steal. Shaul Tamidov as Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. Nei ma'achmir a Torah b'ganav. Why by a ganav do we find the Torah says a ganav has to pay kefil, a ganav has to pay dal v'hei? Yois mi'gazlan, that the halach is that a gazlan also only pays the keren. And I saw that the Iyun Yaakov explains the Gemara's question, that in a way we should make a, we should assume just the opposite. As we've been learning in our shir, a gazlin is somebody who does it publicly. A ganef is somebody who does it surreptitiously. So since the Aveiru was done publicly, so there's a greater Chil Hashem, so should we not be more concerned? Amalehem. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai responded, Zeh, the gazlin, his recovered Eved L'Kfai Kanei. He's not scared of people, and he's not scared of Hashem. The Zeh, but the ganef, Loi his recovered Eved L'Kfai Kanei, he is scared of people, and that's why what he does, he quiet surreptitiously, and he's not scared of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kaviyachol, what he's doing is as if also ain't shamata kila in a roya, vayzer shamata in a shemes. The Gemara speaking in a euphemism, but what it means is that he is making he's acting as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to worry about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Only worried what about people. There are other reasons. I saw that the Mefarshim give what a Torah was more makbid by a gazlin than by a ganef. A gazlin is people look at him in a bad way because they know he's a gazlin and they know he's a person that takes what doesn't belong to him. They look at him in a bad way. So he really gets his punishment that way. A ganef, since nobody knows that this person is a ganef, nobody knows to not have the proper respect. Another pshat that the Mara Nevuchim suggests is that by a gazlin, maybe right now he was able to take and I wasn't able to get what he took back from him. But at the end of the day, there may be a time where his position will weaken and we will be able to get back from him what he stole. But by a ganef, since we don't know who's the one that stole it, therefore we will never be able to retrieve what was stolen. Shenemar, continues the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hoy amamikim mashem lastir eitza v'hoye b'machshech maseyem v'kosev v'yomru. These are people that say lo yiraka v'lo yoven alakei Yaakov v'ksiv ki omru ozva Hashem es oretz v'en Hashem roye. They act as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see what's happening. And that's why a person who acts this way, which shows such a tremendous lack of Yerushmayim, deserves to be punished. And I saw that Rabbi Shimon Schneerson Zatzal, the Chabina Rosh Yeshiva explains, is somebody who acts in a way as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not see what he's what we're doing, then what he's showing is a tremendous lack of Emunah. And therefore, he has to pay kefil. And he says, in the Zmiris that we sing on Shabbos, it says, V'ashu kachoykaloi, meis kos shoych is shoychim barofel. That even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shoychim barofel. Sometimes Hashem is hidden from us. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Still, if a person doesn't live that way, but the person, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not visible to us, acts as if, acts in a way that he does respect and does live a life as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, then he's going to get kefil. What's the pshat? That if when you do an aveira, if when you do an aveira, you get punished, that you lose, that you have to pay kefil. So certainly when you do the right thing, then you deserve to, when you do the right thing, you deserve kefil in tzchar. So the Maral asks a question. He says that the Gemara in Masechta Chagiga Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph says, Mishi Yitzrim is Gavur Alav, if somebody feels that the Yetzahara is prevailing over him, Yilbash Shayrim, should put on black clothing, V'yelech L'makam Shemakirin Moisai, he should go to a place where nobody recognizes him, V'yasim Ashali Bei Chafetz, so we see, he asks, that sometimes the right thing to do is to run away. And he was saying running away is not the right thing. So he answers The Goslin is not considered as if he went to a place where they don't know him. If the Goslin indeed went to a place where nobody knew him, then we can maybe make this argument. But explains the morale, the Goslin is a person that we knew. And therefore, since we know, that's not called that he went to a place, Shem Makir Meisai. The Magen Avraham says that when we say Al-Chayt, on Yom Kippur, we're supposed to say Al-Chayt, B'seis, B'galui, B'shoigin, B'zodin, and we're supposed to always say the smaller Aveira first. And here we're saying that doing an Aveira B'seiser is worse than doing the Aveira B'galui. Because when you do it B'seiser, when you do it surreptitiously, you're showing a tremendous lack of Kavod HaShemayim. So he says, so he answers, the Paradis Yosef answers to that question, the Aveira of Seisr, the way is because the Goslin is a person who did Aveira. The Goslin has over Goslin is because he doesn't care about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but he is embarrassed of people. And therefore, that is something that we also have to take into consideration. The Briskerov says, we know that the Pasuk by Amalek says, Ashikarch b'derech, v'zana b'chokol n'achshol m'achrecha, v'ata oyef yogei v'lo yirei elikim. So the Briskerov says, we know that Amalek is the one that's always identified as the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, Mechama b'Hashem b'Amalek, b'dol l'dor, we have a din of Parsha Zohar. Why, asked the Briskerov, from all the enemies that stood up against Klal Yisrael in all the generations, is Amalek that enemy that's the worst? He says, it's based on our Gemara. He says, what is the difference between a Ganef and a Goslin? He says, a Goslin is a thief, and he just steals. He doesn't make any calculations. He sees something, he wants something, he takes something. A ganef is somebody who does it surreptitiously. He said, included in doing something surreptitiously means that you planned out the ganeva. That means you took the time to think, how will I do this aveira, and how will I be able to steal and be successful? He says, that is what happened over here. What happened over here was that Amalek, as the Pasuk says, Ashikarch baderech, Amalek saw that Klal Yisrael had just left Mitzrayim, v'ata oyef yegeya, Klal Yisrael was tired. That was the time that Amalek figured is the time that I'm going to take advantage. And since that is the time that I have to take it, I could take advantage. That premeditated sin is what makes Amalek our arch enemy. Just like we find that a Ganef is considered a bigger Baal Aveira than a Goslin. But I saw that the Gemara Masechet Brachos says, "Kishchol Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai got ill, Nichnasu Talmidav Levakroi. His Talmidim came to visit him. Amalei Rabbeinu Bachenu. And they said to him, Rabbi, give us a bracha. Amalem Yirotzu Shtei Mar Shemaim Aleichem Kamar Bas Vadam. You should fear Hashem as much as you fear people. Amalev Talmidav. So the Talmidim said to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbeinu Ad Kan. Amalehem, is that the bracha that you give us? Amalem V'levai Teidu. He says to them, "Kshadim oiver aveira oimer." When a person does a sin, he always thinks to himself, "Shlo yireni adam." I hope nobody sees me. So we see that people are more scared of people than they are of Hashem. Why here do we find different? In our Gemara, it seems that being scared of people, makes it worse. So the Chashuk Yechemin explains as follows. The Gemara in Baba Kama is speaking about somebody who's concerned that is going to get caught by the police. And for that, a Ganef gets punished. Because you're only worried that the police are going to catch you, and you're not worried that Hashem is going to catch you, and isn't that Kadosh Baruch Hu stronger and more powerful than any government, any police force? The Gemara Masechta Brachos doesn't speak about fear. So he says, our Gemara is speaking about fear. And a person fearing humans more than he fears Hashem is totally unacceptable. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos is not speaking about fear. The Gemara over there is speaking about embarrassment. And he says that being embarrassed when you do an Aveira from Hashem is not that, is being embarrassed from Hashem, even if he believes he sees your Aveira, but you don't see him. And that's why he explains that the Gemara over there says that when it comes to the embarrassment, and the embarrassment aspect of the Aveira, embarrassment of people is greater than the embarrassment from Hashem. Says the Gemara, Amar Meir, Mashal, Reb Gamliel. Gamliel gave the following Mashal. L'mad David Omer. L'mnei be'adam shayir be'ir. There were two people in the city of Asa Mishnu, and they made a party. Echad zimen es b'nei ir. One invited all the people. V'lei zimen es b'nei melech, but he didn't invite the sons of the king. Vech le zimen es b'nei ir. Le zimen es b'nei melech. He didn't invite anyone. Ezim et an shem ruba. Who was going to get a greater punishment? Have Omer. If you didn't invite anybody, so you didn't invite anybody. But if you invited and you excluded the royal family, that's a much greater sin. Here too, if you do an Aveira, it's one thing. But if you do an Aveira, and the way you do the Aveira is you show you're only scared of people and not of Hashem, that is so much more. Amar Meir, we've been speaking in our Shurim about Tficha Mechira. And the halach is that by shor you pay chamisha, and by seh you pay arba. So says the Gemara, Amar Meir, barei kama gadol koyach malacha. How work is so important. Shor shebitl malachtoi, an axe is an animal that works. So the ganef who took away the axe from its owner, and the owner can't have the benefit of its work, therefore he has to pay chamisha. And the Ein Yaakov points out, even if there's a specific animal that's a shor that doesn't work, but a shor is an animal that works. Since it's a shor, there's an animal that works, that's why you always pay chamisha. Seh, but a sheep is not an animal that works. Loi bitl memalachtoi, so that's why you only pay arba. But if there was no tvicha or mechira, then the shor and the seh are the same, because hopefully it'll be returned as is. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Bar A, Kamagol Kvayt Abriyas, Shor Shalach Baraglov, an animal that the axe, that when the ganef is taking the axe, he walks in the street, you only have to pay chamisha. You have to pay chamisha. Seh, Shor Kival Ksefai, by Seh, where ganef had to carry him on his shoulders, which is embarrassing, the Torah recognizes that embarrassment, and the Torah says that you pay arba. But I saw Rabbi Aaron Cutler says a very powerful word. Rabbi Aaron Cutler says how much we see from here what busha means. Who is the busha? Whose busha is the Gemara focused on here, says Rabbi Aaron Zatzal. He says we're focused on the busha of a ganef, that the ganef of a shor has less busha than the ganef of a seh. And that's why we say that he only has to pay dalet, he doesn't have to pay chamisha. Says Reb Aaron, we see from here how everything in the Torah is so, the Torah is so sensitive, and the Torah has everything with a cheshbin. And therefore, the ganef, even though we're talking about a ganef, here is more busha, and here is less busha, and that is taken into consideration. Says the Mishnah, one may not raise sheep, etc., and that's a Yisrael. So, of course, the
the Farshim want to understand what is the connection with this Mishnah, who are we've been learning about Nezikim. The Pashpashat is because we've been learning about Dal Vehei, and as we just learned, Dal Vehei applied to a set, which is a Behemah Daka, and therefore it's mentioned in our Mishnah. Another reason it's mentioned here is, as we're just going to learn, we're not allowed to raise a Behemah Daka Netzisrol. So if we're not allowed to raise a Behemah Daka Netzisrol, how can we ever have a situation of Dal Vehei if there's no Behemah Daka Netzisrol? So that's what the Mishnah is going to say, that even though we don't raise Behemah Daka Netzisrol, we can raise Behemah Daka in the Midbar. And that's how we'll have a case of Dal Vehei. I'm a gadlan b'Surya. Surya is a place that isn't considered as Yisrael because it was only captured by David HaMelech with a kibush yachid, and there's no, it doesn't have the same halacha of yishuv as Yisrael because kibush yachid ain't kibush. One reason is because if it was not done under the consent of the Sanhedrin with the Urim V'Tumim, that's not considered to have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat is that it was captured before all of Eretz Yisrael was captured. You ought not to capture before all of Eretz Yisrael is captured. A third pshat, he shouldn't have captured it before all of Eretz Yisrael was captured. A third pshat is that when David HaMelech himself captured Surya, what his intention was that it should not be kept as the rest of Eretz Yisrael. He never intended that it should have the same din of Eretz Yisrael, but Midbaros Eretz Yisrael, and similarly in the Midbaros of Eretz Yisrael, there is no issue. So the question is, does this halacha apply b'zman hazeh? So there are those that suggest, the Kafta B'Ferach says that even when Klal Yisrael are in Golus, and we don't have control of Eretz Yisrael, the halacha of Eimagalim Be'Eimadak Be'Eretz Yisrael still applies. The Vilna Gaon, the Gra, Echosh Mishpat, Simen Tov Tes, Sif Katan Aleph, disagrees. And he says, only when Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael does this halacha apply. And therefore, the question is, can goat and sheep be raised in Eretz Yisrael? Ratzvi Preis of Frank Zatzal says that since there was the time when Klal Yisrael went into Golus, and when Klal Yisrael went into Golus, we did not have the, this rule fell away, and it stays that way, b'zman hazeh. The Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Dalid, Simen Reish Chav Zayin, says that's not true. Once the rule is, as long as Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, we have to be worried that we can't raise, they may come to do destruction, and therefore it should be Asur. Rev the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Zayin Simen Chof Dalet, says that in those days, boundaries and borders between people's property were not that firm, and therefore this rule had to be instituted. But he says, nowadays, where boundaries and borders of property are much more established, and people have fences, and people know what's their property versus what's not their property, there's reason that we could be making. Says the Mishnah, Emigadim Tanagoyim B'Shalayim, we may not raise chickens B'Shalayim, Nei Kotshim. The chickens usually poke around in the garbage, and we're concerned that they may bring a sheretz next to a carbon and be metamit. V'loy kahanim, the kahanim should never raise chicken b'Eretz Yisrael, nei taharis. Kahanim have to be tar, they have to keep the truma tar, and since, as we just explained, chickens are likely to bring a sheretz, we have to be concerned. Emigad chazerim mekomokim, we're not allowed to raise chazerim, even in chutzlords. V'loy gav olam kelev, you're not allowed to raise a dog unless it's tied with chains. The reason the Chazal were so concerned about Chazerim is based on a Gemara we're going to learn about Pei Beis, where they once, instead of bringing up an animal to the wall, they brought a chazer, and it caused the world to shake. Ein parsim l'shoivim l'yoinim. One may not put out nets to catch birds. Unless it's 4 million away, because in such a distance, somebody's private property birds won't fly. In the forest of Eretz Yisrael, you may raise b'emedaka. In Surya, you can raise them a field b'yishuv. In Tzarech Leimer, that certainly in Chutz Loritz, you may raise them. Tanya idach, em agadlim b'emedaka b'Eretz Yisrael. Am agadlim b'midbar shebihuda, u'midbar shebesfar akoy, by the border of Akko. V'apish omr em agadlim b'emedaka, we're not allowed to raise b'emedaka b'Eretz Yisrael. Am agadlim b'emagasa. B'emagasa, we're allowed to. L'fish ein, guys, says the Mishnah, why should we be concerned that they may eat something that doesn't belong to them? For that, says the Braisa, Lefish ein goizrim gzer al tzibar, elam kei revet tzibar yichal alamidba. We only make rules that are enforceable. But behem medaka, because behem medaka, ef shalohavi mechutz laretz. You know, behem megasa, which they need for work purposes, and therefore we can't just wait to bring them from Chutz Loretz. We need them to work with them. So that's why Chazal were more lenient. Our Gemara just spoke about that you're not allowed to raise a wild dog unless it's chained. The question is, somebody had a dog in an apartment house, and the dog was constantly barking and scaring people. And one of the people that lived there put out poison in front, in this building, in the lobby or outdoors, and the dog ate it, and he died. And the question is, what is the halacha? Says the Sefer Mishpatei Torah, if the owner of that animal was always careful that he kept the animal properly chained and leashed, etc., then the person had no right to put out the poison. But even if he did put out the poison, he will not be chayiv, because it's a grumah b'nezakim. He didn't directly cause the animal to die. We had earlier in our masechta the concept the animal should not have eaten it, and therefore it's only grumah b'nezakim. But as we always say, a grumah b'nezakim is chayiv b'dei shemayim. However, if the animal was acting in an improper fashion, that means it was scaring people, it was going out unleashed, it was going into property that belonged to other, the halacha is that such an animal, the person who put it out had every right to put it out, and then the halacha is that the person is not even chayiv, b'day shemayim.